afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order for its afternoon meeting. It's 5 minutes after 3 p.m., Monday, March 15, 2011. With me for the afternoon section is Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator McGuire, myself, Stedman. Other members are running around doing budgetary closeouts and other things. This afternoon, we're going to continue our overview of the governor's FY12 capital budget and Senate Bill 46. We left off this morning with the Department of Transportation, and we're going to change the schedule, a little adjustment this afternoon. We're going to finish up with DOT, and then we're going to move on to the Department of Natural Resources, and then to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, which is just a little out of the order that was published this morning. And we're going to, if we finish those, then we'll move on to picking up the schedule with the Alaska Energy Authority, Department of Commerce, Department of Health and Social Services. So we'll conclude today's meeting at 5 o'clock, and we'll go until such time. And then we'll pick it up in the morning. So I'd like to pick up the Department of Transportation. I think we left off on page 144, Project 49136, Fairbanks Potter Road Surfacing. And if you identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and then go ahead and address the issue, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Laura Baker, Admin Service Director for Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
I'm Pat Kemp, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Mr. Chairman, before I start in on page 144, I just very quickly wanted to provide some clarification on a question that Senator Hoffman had this morning in regards to the Newtok evacuation shelter and access road. There is a project request in the Department of Commerce and Community Economic Development for $2.5 million, but it is not in the DOT budget. Back to the DOT capital budget, starting on page 144, project number 49136 for $250,000 in federal receipt authority. This is for Potter Road resurfacing in Fairbanks. The next project is project number 49093. This is moving the Fairbanks South Cushman Mitchell Expressway to Sandary Street into the FY11 supplemental bill. That pulls the original request.
So run that amendment by me again.
Project number 49093, the budget amendment removed the Fairbanks South Cushman to Mitchell Expressway to Sandury Street project from the capital budget to the FY11 supplemental.
Okay. Although again, we haven't decided what capital is going in the supplemental, so we'll go ahead and continue.
So, Mr. Chairman, again, we're keeping our white pages in our book too.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next reference number is 42955. This is a $9 million request in federal receipts for the Campion Road Erosion Protection Project in Galena. The next project is number 43227. This is $11 million request in federal receipt authority for evacuation road repairs and extension in Gamble. The next project is number 41539 for $1 million in federal receipts for the Geographic Information System Development, also referred to as IWAS. The next project is on page 148. It's reference number 49146, $1.5 million for the Glen and Parks Highways Corridor Intelligent Transportation Systems Project. The next project is number 47838 for $3.5 million in federal receipt authority for the Glen Highway rehabilitation work from milepost 172 to 189. Next project is number 51544, $1 million in federal receipts for the Hatcher Pass Scenic Overlook and Trailhead construction. The next project is number 45523, $3.5 million in federal receipt authority for the East End Road Rehabilitation, milepost 3.7 to 12.2 in Homer. The next project is number 49180, $1,250,000 for the Intelligent Transportation Systems Border Infrastructure.
Run that by me again, please.
This is an Intelligent Transportation Systems Border Infrastructure. This one pertains to the U.S.-Canada border area. This is different than the earlier one we saw that's more on the main roads.
What page are you on?
150-1. There.
Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. And this one, when did this first appear in the STIP plan?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I think we're going to have to get back and let you know exactly which STIP amendment this showed up on, but these were amendments that were processed after the December 15th original budget cutoff date or
yes,
release.
I'm aware of that, but prior to that, when did this enter into the whole system of the STIP plan?
Not sure.
We'll have to follow up on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious on this $1.5 million increase since the governor's release of on the 15th of December. Why is there a timing delay on these? Maybe enlighten us a little bit on the issue with the STIP and then the numeric changes on these projects after December 15th.
Mr. Chairman, some of these changes result from projects that had been in the STIP that were planned in the original budget for FY12 or in on prior STIP lists that are in the queue for proceeding for work. The issue is that in some instances we may have a holdup due to environmental work or some such matter, as well as in some instances some projects have come in at a lower cost. And so in an effort to make sure that we don't free up federal receipts for other states to receive allocations on, then we come in and reach into the STIP list and add more projects to the capital budget.
And when can we expect a change on the STIP on the Alum Point project in Sitka? There's a cost increase there also.
Which project?
Albert Point in Sitka. On Point Road, I think it jacked it up another $16 million or something the other day I saw.
Chairman, you mentioned that the other day. I haven't looked into that yet. I will do that.
You can get back to us.
I will, yes.
Next item, please.
The next item is number 51537, $4 million in federal receipts for the Fritz Cove Road rehabilitation and repair here in Juneau. On page 151-1, we have number 51535, $11.3 million in federal receipts for the Glacier Highway widening and resurfacing from Eagle Beach to Bessie Creek. Here in Juneau.
So that's a new project, right?
This is a new project, yes.
And again, Mr. Chairman, on this project, when did this first appear in the STIP? Was it just this year, or was it in the plan prior to this and has been moved up? When did this project first appear in the STIP? You can get back with me later on that as well.
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, this project has been in the STIP over 5 years.
Next project is number 51540, $1.2 million in federal receipt authority for the Juneau-Auk Lake Trail and Wayside The next project is number 47845, $17.5 million in federal receipts for the Juneau Brotherhood Bridge and Industrial Boulevard improvements. The next item is number 51563, $2 million in federal receipts for Juneau Mendenhall Valley Street dust control. The next project is number 51533, $1 million in federal receipt authority for South Tongass Highway widening from Saxman to Surf Street in Ketchikan. The next project is a new project from the original budget. This is number 49137, $1.4 million in federal receipt authority for the Live and Good Creek Bridge replacement. Live and Good's on the Dalton Highway. The next item is number 40358, $2 million in federal receipt authority for the new Seward Highway, Rabbit Creek to 36th Avenue corridor improvements. The next item is number 51542, $2.2 million in federal receipt authority for the Village Bridge replacement in the Nilchik. The next item is number 49135. This is $4.5 million in federal receipt authorization for the Nome Council Road, milepost 4 to 16. The next item is number 41700. This is a $32 million federal receipt authorization request for National Highway System and Non-National Highway System pavement and bridge refurbishment in the northern region. The next item is number 51552, $4.5 million in federal receipt authorization for the Nulato Airport Road improvements. The next item is number 49178, $27 million in federal receipt authorization for milepost 239 to 263 of the Parks Highway reconstruction. This is from Nana Canyon to Bear Creek. The next item is number 51536, $20 million in federal receipt authority for the Prince of Oil Island, Kluwak, DeHollis pavement rehab and culvert replacement. The next item is number 51834, $500,000 request of federal authorization to revise the Alaska traffic, environmental, and right-of-way manuals and standard specifications. We have a number of manuals that need to be updated. This is one of them. The next project is number 51555, $6 million in federal receipt authority for the Richardson Highway, milepost 201, Phelan Creek Bridge replacement. The next project is number 51555. Nope, that's the original request, and we just went over the amended request.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I believe you're requesting several bridges here, replacements, and I know I've discussed with you before, but there was a bridge project that the voters approved of, I think, 4 years ago that hasn't been built yet, and that's the bridge, Olitnagik Bridge, and there's a lot of safety factors for students that are going across that river. And I'm wondering why we're talking about replacing bridges and such here, and that project hasn't even begun yet. You know, we should have had a ribbon-cutting ceremony on that 2 or 3 years ago. Because it is health, life, safety, we have young kids crossing that lake, going to school in small craft that are 16-foot lungs. And I'm wondering if the department has any explanation of why we're pursuing more bridges when we haven't even built the bridges that are on the books.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I'd like to address part of that question, and then I'll let Deputy Commissioner Kemp respond to the bridge in particular. As we're going through these projects, it's important to note that We are requesting federal authorization for these projects. The projects are in a STIP plan. However, we do have a limited amount of federal dollars that come in, so there are many more projects in the capital budget with federal authorization than we actually have surface transportation funding coming in for to do all within 1 year.
And that is why that bridge was built with general funds, voter approval, and there are no federal requirements, and that would seem to me that that bridge would have been built much quicker, because you don't have to follow the federal guidelines when you're using general funds. So that explanation that you've given me is falling on deaf ears.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, understood, I think.
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, that project will be advertised this summer. The project has been delayed due to a native allotment right-of-way issue, and I believe we have requested help from your office to help untangle that mess. We talked to the manager of the project the other day, and he was very excited to hear that you might help support us with that, with the allotment. But it does look like we're going to get there anyway in the summer, so I think we'll be successful.
Well, I hope so, that I'm not here a year from now on a project. It seems to me that when legislators request projects and they're approved by the voters and not requested by the department, those projects, for some reason, don't receive as much priority as the ones that are requested by the administration. And I don't think that should be the case. Especially when they're approved by the voters, they should receive as much attention, if not more so, in this particular case when you're talking about health, life, safety of students.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we have heard your concerns, and as you know, we do have new leadership in the department, and we are trying to address some of these concerns that folks have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Olson.
I'd like to go in and reemphasize this. We just had people being taller and braver, a 7-mile stretch, go through the ice and spend days and weeks looking for the body that was there. I'm not saying that we need a bridge, but I want to emphasize that from a health safety standard, that, especially with general funds, I don't think there's any excuse why this bridge shouldn't be built. With that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, Senator Olson, I'd like to make it clear that we do need right-of-way clearance before we can construct any project. We cannot construct a publicly owned facility on private property. So that is our holdup in these projects. And this native allotment is especially difficult to us. This one has multiple ownership, and it's a tough one to untangle. But I do believe we're getting there, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
165, please, page.
Next reference is number 40330, $3 million request and federal receipt authorization for the Richardson Highway milepost 357 for the Fairbanks Way Station. The next project is 41384, $1 million in federal receipt authorization for the Safe Routes to School program. Next project is number 43315. This is a $750,000 federal receipt authorization request for the Seward Highway Anchorage to Girdwood Intelligent Transportation System project. The next project is number 45625, $15 million request and federal receipt authorization for passing lanes from Indian to Potter on the Seward Highway, milepost 104 to 115. The next request is number 49150 for $4 million in federal receipt authorization. This is for the Sitka Halibut Point Road resurfacing, drainage improvements, and bridge replacement. This is a new project from the December budget.
So what is this project?
This is going to reclaim and replace the pavement along Halibut Point Road. This is between the Alaska Marine Highway Terminal and downtown Sitka.
Saying that's the project that
yes.
like we need another $16 million for?
Chairman, I don't know. That's not true. I believe this project is adequately funded with the request, the additional $4 million request.
Maybe you could get back to us on that.
I will do that. I will.
Just for those listening at home, that some of these monies have been in the budget on Halibut Point Road, and there are some other issues, I guess, coming out on the cost. We're trying to clarify that. So this would go beyond. This would go all the way out to Stargab on the end of the road, and include Stargab and Valley for the shooting range.
Chairman, that's true. It'll get that. There's a bad stretch there that it'll pick up.
It is. You can hardly get over it with the truck.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item, please.
The next item, reference number is 41701. This is a $5 million federal receipt authorization request for the Southeast Region National Highway System and Non-National Highway System pavement and bridge refurbishment. The next item is 51865, $1.2 million in federal receipt authorization for statewide air quality mobile source modeling. The next project is number 49147, $500,000 in federal receipt authorization for statewide bicycle pedestrian facilities rehabilitation and improvements.
So what does that mean?
Walkways and bike paths. with the weather we have around the state, in certain areas, you have the vegetation growing through some of the asphalt. So we'd be going out and repairing, rehabilitating those assets.
We don't have much asphalt in rural Alaska, Mr. Chairman.
That's why the number's only 500.
The next item is number 36185. This is $200,000 in federal receipt authorization for statewide civil rights program. Civil rights program deals with disadvantaged business enterprise. And other resources for our contractors. Next item is number 40312, $400,000 federal receipt authorization for a statewide comprehensive highway safety plan. Okay. The next number is number 36196. This is $1.5 million in federal receipt authorization, a statewide request for highway data equipment acquisition and installation. The next item is number 36446, $100,000 for the statewide highway fuel tax enforcement. Next item is number 36187, $750,000 combination of CIP receipts and federal receipts for statewide National Highway Institute and Transit Institute training.
And we're going to jump back to page 179.
Yes, how is this enforcement going to take place throughout the state, the $100,000? What's the plan?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, this is ran through our motor vehicle standards section in Anchorage. Our people certify the pumps, and then we'll do audits into the tax returns. And it actually does bring in a revenue source to the state with the amount expended.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I might continue, who gets audited? Is this the distributors or the gas stations, or how do you determine that the businesses are accurately reflecting their returns?
Chairman, Senator Hoffman. The entities that are audited are the actual gas stations. I'm not sure how they are selected, though, and we can get back to you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go on to the page 180. Anybody have any questions on 180? Want to go to the next page, 181. Please continue.
Reference number 36189 is an $8 million request for statewide planning work program. This is an annual request to allow staff to plan for upcoming projects eligible for federal reimbursement. The next item is number 36191, $1.7 million in federal receipt authorization. This is a statewide research program, and this is an annual request item to do special studies selected by the State Research Board. The next item is number 36450, $750,000 in federal receipt authority for statewide scenic byways grants. These grants go out to communities to promote tourism and economic development. The next item is number 36188, $2 million in federal receipt authorization for statewide seismic retrofit on our bridges. The next item is number 36192, $1.5 million in federal receipt authorization for statewide urban planning program. Again, this is a annual request working with the Metropolitan Planning Organizations and the AMATS and FMATS, the Metropolitan study folks. The next request, number 40311, this is $2 million in federal receipt authorization for the statewide weigh-in-motion equipment. This allows the trucking industry to actually get weighed by passing a card rather than having to stop at each weigh station. The next item is number 36366, $45 million in surface transportation pre-construction. Again, this funds our pre-construction work throughout the department to get projects out and ready for construction. The next item is number 51551, $1.5 million in federal receipt authorization. This is rehabilitation of Top of the World Highway, which is milepost 0213. On the Taylor Highway. The next item is number 38304, $2.2 million for Whittier maintenance and operations. And Mr. Chairman, starting on page 193, reference number 51320, this is the department's appropriation for the deferred maintenance plan. The subsequent pages have more detail, but our allocation is the appropriations broken down into the following allocation amounts: $3.5 million in GF for the aviation program, $3.1 million in GF for the statewide facilities deferred maintenance, $600,000 GF for the harbor's deferred maintenance, $16.9 million in GF for the highway's deferred maintenance, and $3 million for Alaska Marine Highway System deferred maintenance at vessels and terminals.
And how does this fit in with the governor's announced $100 million statewide maintenance? Is this part of it or in addition to it?
Mr. Chairman, the $27.1 million is part of the $100 million of the governor's plan.
Part of it?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the request in from the department?
Mr. Chairman, our deferred maintenance list after they were scrubbed for non-big project items was approximately $700 million across all modes, not including major projects like major repaving projects or vessel overhauls and things like that.
You said 700, roughly? proposal here for 27 and 27 next year. So the ongoing plan is to roughly do 27 a year, is that correct?
At this point, Mr. Chairman, that's what we understand.
Mr. Chairman, and all of these projects are state-owned facilities and does not reflect any municipal or borough needs. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's correct. Behind each of the allocations, actually, my book doesn't have it. Yours probably does. There is a listing of the projects that would be funded with the allocations.
Okay, so maybe what we'll do, rather than go through this item by item, just take a glance through there if anybody has any questions. I suppose, am I correct to assume then you guys gave a prioritized maintenance ranking to the administration, and that's what created this list?
Mr. Chairman, yes, in each of the modes, we have gone through a prioritization selection, and these are the highest priority items that were funded.
Okay. We'll go on to the next.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the deferred maintenance is the end of our presentation.
Maybe.
Mr. Chairman?
Maybe. Yeah, go ahead, Senator.
I had a question back on the green sheets at the beginning, page 2 of 11. There's item number 41923. Page 44, it's other federal program match. There's someone who could speak to that. My understanding is that, I just need more detail of what that's about. I've been told that this fund also includes what you project to be about $300,000 for matching for local communities for transit grants from the federal government. In some research, I had discovered that Alaska was the only state or one of the only states that really didn't have a formalized transit operating fund account at the state level. So we were ineligible in many cases at the local community level for federal operating funds for transit. And so you all have this fund. I'm not sure what the other purpose is, but 1,050 total, 300,000 for matching. I'm just curious about the details of this account within DOT, and then if you all plan to ramp up in the future money that would be available to local governments for matching transit money from the feds, or just what are the future plans for this account?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis, on page 44 we did discuss that the other federal program match we have budgeted for this year, $100,000 for the motor carrier safety assistance program grants match, and the $950,000 of this is related to our federal transit administration grants. So this, the $950,000 is the match, and then I have to skip back, but we also talked about the federal programs. Are you talking more about the FMATS and AMATS programs for the transit, just pure transit grants? If we'd like to follow up on some of your questions on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would appreciate more detail. I'm interested in working with the department to try and bump this up in the future to allow local transit organizations in towns and villages and cities across the state to qualify for more federal operating money. We have a long history in the state of funding in the capital budget money, federal match money for buses and vans, and we fund at the state with state general funds all kinds of vans for nonprofits and communities across the state. And my impression is that Alaska transit operators at the local level have been missing out on some federal funding that's available. If we had more ability through this state fund to match those federal dollars. So I want to work with the department to figure out the details and figure out how we can do a better job in this regard. I'd appreciate your help.
Senator Ellis, through the chair, we'll follow up.
I'm just a little curious on page 196. It's dealing with the harbor deferred maintenance issue. You got Port Alexander, the inner float, for $600,000. But on the deferred maintenance inventory list, it's listed as a project cost of $690,000. So do you know why that, by chance, if that funding request is $90,000 short of the deferred maintenance list? Number one on the deferred maintenance list. You can get back to us if you don't have that off the top of your head.
Mr. Chairman, we'll follow up on that. I think the $600,000 was the maintenance level from the previous year, but I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, just take a look at that so we can do that top project and that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just went through a campaign this last summer, so there's some issues that are fresh in my mind. One is dust control. I see you have a project here in Anchorage and one in Juneau, but there are many communities in rural areas of the state that their roads are built out of gravel. And even in Bethel and Dillingham, when the wind blows, there's a lot of blowing dust that causes health concerns. And I'm wondering, is there any way the department can look at a program that could help out rural areas of the state that have their primary construction of roads is from dirt and gravel, and get a program that could address that using federal dollars? And I would like to work with the department to see if we could do something in that area, because it is a major concern out in many rural areas of the state.
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, sounds like a very good idea, and we'll be ready to work with you on that for villages.
I think back on the earlier issue dealing with the harbors, as I recall, last year, the governor submitted a request for $600,000, which is equal to this year's. But we added at this table $2.5 million on the deferred maintenance, and then he pulled that back to his original $600,000. So I just put that in, I guess, into your response and how you want to handle that in your response, asking why the amount for that number one item on that list at $690,000, why the governor's submission was only $600,000. If in fact, that's all he plans on paying for that particular item.
Mr. Chairman, we'll include some information on our follow-up.
Okay. Any other questions for DOT? Okay, with that, I'd like to thank DOT for coming forward. It's nice to have DOT commissioner in the room. Doesn't go unnoticed, even though it's probably days that a lot of people don't look forward to, and along with the deputy commissioners and support staff.
Thank you.
You said you're going to spend some time on the roads to resources.
Next up, Department of Natural Resources. Today is representation from the Department of Natural Resources. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and walk us through your budgetary request, please.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jean Davis. I am the Support Services Director for the Department of Natural Resources.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ed Fairwoods. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. Yeah.
Page number one.
Thank you. Reference number 38872, page number one, is Unified Permit Project and Document Management. This project is designed to simplify and streamline the state land and water use permit application process. raising productivity of our adjudicators and setting known response times for the applicants. The system integrates mapping systems and electronic documents with case files and provides effective research tools for the adjudicators.
And can you tell us how that's going to integrate in with the 1,000-plus backlog permit requests, and will this help facilitate the removal of the logjam on the permit jam?
That's a good question.
Mr. Chair, yes, I can explain that. The Division of Mining, Land, and Water in particular has a fairly significant backlog of authorizations, as you may have heard about 2,500, and the reasons for that are numerous, but we are proposing a sort of a multifaceted way to get rid of that backlog. Some of that's going to be hopefully some additional resources for the department and the division. A big part of that strategy is going to be to automate our permitting system so that when an applicant comes in and applies for something, that eventually they'll just be able to do it online, and that whole process will go smoother, and the information flow between within our agency and other agencies will happen a lot quicker. And we believe that will eventually cut down the permitting time dramatically and help us eliminate that backlog.
So this funding request before us here at $2.5 million, this process started back in 2004, $683,000.
That is correct.
We went to $1 million, then 800, 800, 800, 800, and over that time frame have we gained on the number of permits in the jam at least 2,500. Did that number used to be higher, or is that number continually growing over this time frame?
Mr. Chair, that number has continually grown over the years. We have made strides in automating our business processes, but we're not there yet to have automatic permit application and processing systems. We've done a lot of mapping automation on our online. We've automated our case file system so that anyone can go on the web and look at all DNR case files. So there's been a lot accomplished, but it hasn't helped us keep up with the backlog at this time.
Okay, and is that why the request last year was 800 and this year now it's 2.5 million and next year 3.3?
That is in part the reason, yes, sir.
So if we grant you this request a year from now when you request 3.3, are you going to be able to tell us you have some number below 2,500 permits in the backlog?
Yes.
2,499, or any idea?
Mr. Chair, our plan that we've presented today, we are going to do our best to eliminate the backlog entirely within 3 years.
And just for the other committee members, I've had conversations with the commissioner about this situation, told him that we would try to help the department with, where we can, so he would have the tools to relieve the state of this burden of backlog permits, because it doesn't do the state any good at all. We'll be asking for a report next year when you come back with this request for 3.3, and I would imagine we'll probably even look at it in more detail next year after the commissioners had time to settle in and let us work on straightening this mess out. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I notice on page 2 that it says currently there are approximately 50 different permit types and many are requested with inaccurate or incomplete information on the initial application. Is there some way to make that initial application maybe more clear so people don't fill them out inaccurately or incomplete or something? Because that sounds like that's the start of the problem there.
Senator Thomas, through the chair, yes, you're correct. That is a big part of the problem, and that is what a large part of what we're trying to do as we automate the system is to make it very easy and understandable and clear for the public and applicants to give us the information. In my experience within the department, that is a frequent cause of permitting delays is getting misinformation from
the applicant, and we have to go back and request for more information, and there's a considerable delay, so the better off that we can structure the system so we get the right information right away, the better off the applicant will be and will be.
Shouldn't that be one of the priority things that was done maybe first off or something? But anyhow, sounds like an immediate fix needed. Thank you.
Next item, please.
Reference number 41415, page 6. This is the gas pipeline corridor, geologic hazards and resources, final phase. This funding will support the final geologic mapping, hazard assessment, and resource evaluation for the natural gas pipeline corridor between Delta Junction and the Canadian border.
Next item.
Reference number 49185, page 10. This is assessment of in-state gas energy potential, phase 2 of 3. This is the second year of our three-year project, which provides critical data for evaluating natural gas potential in prospective unexplored basins near transportation corridors and population centers. Reference number 45272, page 13, is the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Hydrogeology Assessment. This is the final phase of a three-year project for funding an assessment and study with an ultimate goal to provide DNR with the knowledge to effectively manage Matsu Borough groundwater resources for the long term.
Let me stop and what is this?
Senator Stedman, in portions of the Matsu Borough, there's increased demand for groundwater that's causing concern for the aquifer's ability to provide sufficient high-quality water for development and regular water use. The project has been funding currently water levels that have been tested in 100 wells in the area and a water level recorder that we've installed in 10 major lakes and 2 stream gauges to get the data analyzed to evaluate the long-term potential for the aquifer.
If there is a problem, we can always export water from southeast to Memphis. Next item.
Reference number 41196, page 17. This is actually appropriation for $400,000 of program receipts with 2 allocations. Reference 45283 is an allocation for electronic recording, and reference 41483 is a reference to the conversion of the recorded media to digital. The electronic recording will enable users to securely submit electronic documents for recording in Alaska, streamlining and expediting recording of real estate transactions. And the allocation for completing the conversion of our recorded documents to digital is converting all of the original media, which was historical books, aperture cards, and film, to a digital system.
And then have it available online?
They are, yes.
And that is actually a nice service.
Yes. Reference number 38886, page 24, is land sales new subdivision development. This land sale project provides authorization for DNR to propose, design, and develop new subdivisions. New subdivisions require surveys, appraisals, wetland delineations, topographical surveys, archaeological surveys, field inspections, access location determinations, road building, and right-of-way brushing.
Next item.
Reference number 37762 on page 27 is the Cooperative Water Resource Program. This request allows DNR to accept funds from the private sector and local governments and pass those funds directly through to the USGS or the U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Service as part of a funding agreement for cooperative water resource. Industry and local governments often request and pay USGS to install and operate equipment to obtain hydrologic data, and if that money is passed through a state agency, the feds will match that for them. Reference number 51197, page 30, is the Lower Kisilov River Drift Boat Takeout, phase 1 of 2. This project will develop a public drift boat takeout on the lower Kasiloff River in order to address increasing demand for such a facility on the popular drift-only salmon fishing river. The total estimate cost for this is $3.6 million. This is phase one for $2 million, which will include property investigation and purchasing, preliminary design, environmental clearance, site planning, public meetings, coordination, and preliminary permitting.
And is that, sounds like a boat haul out, or boat ramps. So why isn't Dingell Johnson money and those type of funds used?
Senator Steadman, the Dingell Johnson money, as I understand it, is required to be motorized and non-motorized, and this is a drift boat takeout, so it is non-motorized only.
Mr. Chairman, and how are projects like this submitted into the process so that it was considered?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question?
How are projects such as this put into the process and selected by the governor so it's before us today?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, a lot of these projects come to our attention through DNR because there's a significant issue in the area. The lower Kasiloff is getting to be an increasingly heavily used area because of the dip net fishery down there and because of the increasing popularity of the Kasiloff River as a drift boat fishery. And the state park system owns runs a drift boat put-in facility on the Kasiloff, but there's no real good place to take the drift boats out. As a matter of fact, a year or two ago, there was a fatality where somebody tried to pull a drift boat out with a pickup truck, and the rope snapped and actually killed somebody. So it's been a high priority for us and for the users of the area to figure out a facility. So we brought that to the attention of the governor's office, and they agreed to include it in our budget for this year.
So you are DNR, right?
Pardon?
You are DNR? You said it was brought to your attention by DNR. You are DNR?
No, it was brought to our attention by the users by the users of the area.
And Mr. Chairman, how unusual is it that we build projects like this that require acquisition of land?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, a number of our projects would require the acquisition of land, and of course, you know, that involves issues with purchasing the land and finding the appropriate land. In the lower Kasiloff, it's pretty constrained. There isn't a lot of appropriate land, so it's been pretty difficult trying to find a suitable place for the launch.
But don't we have many state parks that we own the land that need attention as well?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, yes, you are absolutely correct. We have quite a bit of a deferred maintenance backlog, as you'll see in some of our later requests down the line, and so we are asking for some funding to address those also. But
I was referring, Mr. Chairman, to new construction such as this in state parks.
State parks. I believe we are asking for some funding to develop some new construction within our state park systems as well.
That's later on in your presentation?
Yes.
Thank you.
And one of the concerns that I have when I run into things like this is a couple years ago I was pulled into a dock and tied up, and guys telling me what a great dock it was. I thought it was a pretty nice fancy dock built by the state out in the bay. Nobody else around. It just happened to be the engineer's favorite bay. We had the state basically build a public dock that was on use, and other people would use it too. But I thought the process was pretty flawed. And so we'll have to go to the next item and take a look at this in more detail. Page 32.
Your reference number 51042, page 32, is replace the pesticide storage facility at our plant material center in Palmer. This is a 400-acre working farm currently utilizing an old granary for pesticide storage. Pesticide storage requires a secure facility, and this wood structure built in the 1950s has been used by the plant material center for storage since 2002. Reference number 51045, page 34, forest access roads for firewood and timber products. This project funds development of road access to forest resources to help Alaskans meet rising energy costs through the use of a renewable fuel. A dramatic increase in demand requires firewood access road construction to continue meeting demand for both commercial fuel wood timber sales and personal use fuel wood from state land.
And the areas of target?
The areas of target are the highest demand at this point for forest access and firewood, and right now that would be the Mat-Su, Kenai Peninsula, Tanana Basin, and Copper River Basin. Reference number 49203, page 37, Foothills Oil and Gas Development Infrastructure Investigations, phase 2 of 3. This project will provide critical data for judging the feasibility of state and federal infrastructure investment to access both undeveloped and undiscovered oil and gas in the central North Slope foothills. Through field-based bedrock mapping and lab-based analytical work, it will provide the best possible understanding of the conventional and unconventional oil and gas resources in the sparsely drilled part of the North Slope foothills, crossed by the proposed infrastructure project connecting the Umiak, Gubik areas to the Dalton Highway.
So there was a firm up there a couple of years ago drilling, Anadarko. Did they not answer that question? What's here?
Mr. Chair? I mean, I think they definitely gathered a lot of information there, and we know a lot more because of that. But I think what we're proposing to do here is get a lot much broader scope of the study throughout that whole area.
One thing I forgot to mention when you started, we'll probably be recommended that you prioritize your capital budget requests, because if we make changes and we don't prioritize them, and we do, it might get, prioritized, and you wouldn't prioritize them. And that would go for all the departments.
Thank you. We'll provide a prioritized list.
Next item, please.
Reference number 51052, page 40, rare earth elements and strategic minerals assessment. This three-year project will provide information critical for assessing Alaska's rare earth element potential. Many areas of Alaska are geologically permissible for hosting rare earth elements, but the lack of basic data statewide hinders evaluation of our potential.
And I see there's only 2012, so can we expect then an equal amount in 13 and 14, or is this a one-time appropriation that will take care of the study?
Mr. Chair, the intent of this appropriation is to do this initial study for this amount, and what we plan to do is to look at all of these 150 permissible sites with permissible mineralogy and try and identify the most promising locations, and depending on what we find on that, we may develop plans for a follow-up study.
Okay, so this 100 or 498, you plan on this lasting for 3 years. Is that correct? I'm just
That's correct.
Making sure you didn't inadvertently leave off a 13 and 14 request.
That is correct.
Next item.
Reference number 51056, page 45, Copper River Fire Facility Modular Replacement. This project for $400,000 replaces the Copper River Fire Facility, which is currently a 32-year-old trailer converted to office use, which is also substantially deteriorated structurally. The building houses workspace for up to 20 employees. and in 2002 was identified in a study as not cost-effective to repair, and in fact, the repair estimate is $330,000. Reference number 51822 on page 47 is the Haynes Fire Facility Modular Replacement. This is $100,000 to provide construction to replace a building in Haynes that is used to keep an inventory in excess of 125,000 of firefighting tools and equipment in fire-ready condition. This building is deteriorated to the point where it is marginal use due to a rotting superstructure and leaking roof. Reference number 6865 on page 49 is the National Historic Preservation Fund capital project. National Historic Preservation Fund is a federal program that assists states with their statewide historic preservation programs. In Alaska, that is the conservation and use of Alaska's heritage properties consistent with the Alaska Historic Preservation Act. This fund grants to local governments, agencies, organizations, and individuals for restoration or stabilization of historic properties or survey inventory, education, planning, and training projects.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if I could get a list of the projects that were funded under this appropriation for the last 3 years.
And what's on the list for coming attractions?
Senator Hoffman, we will provide that, yes.
Next item, please.
Reference number 40474, page 52, is the Mental Health Trust Land Facilities Maintenance Project. The Trust Land Office for Mental Health in the Department of Natural Resources manages facilities owned by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. This authorization pays for short-term expenses such as utilities, janitorial, snow removal, as well as deferred maintenance of their building. Facilities that they own and that are covered in this project include the Trust Authority building in Anchorage, which also houses the Anchorage School District, the Fairbanks Detox Center, the Trust Land Office building in Anchorage, and two small homes that they own in Anchorage and as rental properties.
Next item.
Reference number 33690, page 55, is the Snowmobile Trail Development Program and Grants. This is a $250,000 project funded by snowmobile registration fees. Funds are distributed in the form of matching grants for trail and trailhead development and maintenance, grooming, safety education, trail identification, and to establish legal trail easements. Grants are awarded by the Snowmobile Trail Advisory Committee, also known as SnowTrack.
Next item.
Reference number 6855 on page 57 is the Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Federal Program. The legislature enacted the Alaska Fiscal Mining Control and Reclamation Act in 1983. The main purpose of this act is to promote the reclamation of areas mined before the enactment of the Federal Surface Mining Control Reclamation Act in 1977. Conditions at some of these mined areas endanger public health and safety, have environmental implications, or prevent the beneficial use or cause damage to land and water resources. This is a federally funded program.
Okay, next item.
Reference number 40082 on page 60 is Alaska Coastal Management Federal Grants. The Division of Coastal and Ocean Management is the designated agency to receive federal funds from NOAA and share them as reimbursable service agreements to agencies participating in ACMP. This portion of the ACMP funds the multi-year grants that are given to Department of Commerce and Economic Development and for granting out to communities.
Mr. Chairman, we may want to make this a fiscal note of the legislation as it may not pass this year. And if the Coastal Zone Management Plan does not pass, there would not be a need for these grants.
I don't know if the grants are like $2.5 million. Okay, we'll move on to the next item.
Reference Reference number 37769 on page 62 is the federal and local government-funded forest resource and fire program projects. This is $1 million of federal receipts and $800,000 of statutory designated program receipts. And this project provides receipt authority for one-time federal and local government-funded projects, including competitive award grants for hazardous fuel reduction, firewise education, prevention and education, community wildfire protection planning, forest disease surveys, biomass inventories, and other one-time projects.
Next item.
Reference number 32552 on page 65 is the Land and Water Conservation Federal Grant Program. This is a 50-50 matching grant program that provides funding for the development of outdoor recreation areas and facilities, provides an opportunity for local, regional, or state applicants to receive up to 50% of the cost that are important to people in these areas in recreation.
Next item.
Reference number 34881 on page 67 is the Forest Legacy Federal Grant Program. This program provides federal funding for acquisition of high-value private forest land and targets private lands adjacent to or within existing conservation units such as parks and refuges, used primarily for forestry, fish and wildlife habitat, outdoor recreation, and traditional access for the purposes of maintaining that traditional use and access.
Next item.
Reference number 39042 on page 69 is the National Coastal Wetland Grant. The Federal Coastal Wetlands Program provides federal funding for the state for the long-term protection of coastal wetlands, which is matched with private sector donations. The program considers acquisitions, restoration, enhancement, or management of coastal wetland areas. Reference number 6854 on page 71 is the National Recreational Trail Grants Federal Program. These funds are distributed by an 80-20 matching grant for trail and trailhead development and maintenance and education programs related to trail safety and responsible trail use. Grants were awarded to organizations, agencies, and local governments.
I see you've got a list here. Can you tell us how that list is, how it's identified and how they're selected?
Yes, Senator Spedman. The list that we did provide were the 2010 recreational trail grants that were awarded. These go out for advertisement, and the different entities apply for them, and they are awarded by a group that is the Outdoor Recreation Trails Advisory Board, or the ORTAB.
Okay, next item.
Reference number 51105 on page 76 is South Denali Visitor Center Design and Construction. This $3 million will be used to complete the design for the South Denali Visitor Center. With the completion of the EIS and the interpretive plan, we're ready to move forward with design and eventually construction. The total amount of state funding estimated to be needed for this project is $25 million, so you will see a $22 million FY13 item on your capital project for actual construction.
Okay. Next item.
Reference number 5194 on page 80 is the appropriation for the Department of Natural Resources deferred maintenance. This is $4 million, and this is Department of Natural Resources' share of the governor's $100 million. We have it divided into 9 allocations. There are 8 allocations for parks, adding up to $2,075,000, and 1 allocation for our forestry facilities, which is $1,925,000.
Thank you. And page 80, deferred maintenance. We're going from $4 million to $35 million in 15. Can you help me with that?
Senator Stedman, our Division of Parks has a deferred maintenance inventory of just over $60 million. Our Division of Forestry has a deferred maintenance inventory of approximately $11 million. And we are in the process of inventorying additional facilities at the Plant Materials Center in Palmer and at the Geologic Materials Center in Eagle River. And DNR would like to advance repair and fixing of the deferred maintenance issues, so we have put them in an accelerated hope.
So next year you're going to bring in, you plan to bring in a $35 million request?
Through the chair, we will be working with the, or to the chair, with the governor on that.
Okay, because it looks like 35 and 38 and back down to 4. Okay, we'll go to the next item.
That was the last item on our list, was the deferred maintenance.
So then you will diligently rank these things for us so we don't have to do it?
Yes, we will.
Okay. I think that pretty much takes care of your department then. Any final questions for the Department of Natural Resources?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The money that you have set aside for looking at the roads to resources, money was already appropriated for the Umiat Road. It appears that you're going in there and looking at it. And the chairman asked a question regarding I think that very subject matter. And there is also money in the roads to resources to move forward on some of these projects. So hopefully there's a good coordination, as there already is a lot of information and in some people's minds. Some of the areas where some of those roads are planned are not in very high potential areas. So before we get too far down the road and spend millions, when it looks like you're completing some studies for a couple hundred thousand dollars, would be good to get a good coordination of what's happening there, because we have a lot of money to be expended in those. And I love the roads to resources prospects, but I would hate to see some of that spent, or even surveying and some other things done in some areas, which is fairly expensive, and find out that we're really not going to build a road there. And looking at the amount of money that's scheduled, it just seems to me that some of it has already gotten ahead of what we should be doing in planning and determining what is the most, has the greatest potential.
Senator Thomas, through the chair, I'd just like to assure you that, yes, indeed, we're very, very closely coordinating with the Department of Transportation on the Roads to Resources project. We've had numerous meetings where our resource people have been sitting down with the road engineers, and we're making sure that we give them all the resource information so that we can, you know, pick the most appropriate routes to bring forward.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
How many acres do you have in the Woodtitchings State Park?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Is it one of the largest state parks in the state?
I believe it is the largest state park in the...
And if you turn to page 89, I have some concern you might not be able to spend all of that money, given that's the one of the largest state parks in the state.
How much money are you talking about?
I don't know. It looks like $35,000.
We'll have to work on that. Is any other questions? Thank you. We're now going to go on to Alaska Housing, which is... Page 17 in revenues. Oh. revenue. Go down to page 17. Hold it a second. We're going to have a brief answer. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then you guys know the drill.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Dan Fowsky. I'm CEO of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
This is Ray Utter, Budget Manager for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
Okay, and then before you get rolling, as stated before, it'd be advisable that you prioritize your request back to the committee in the event that we want to make budgetary alterations.
Yes, sir. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just recognize that Ray is someone that you've dealt with before, but generally you would see Les Campbell. Here, Les is on a family emergency. His father is gravely ill. So Ray, who's been with us many years, will do an excellent job. And I think what we'll do is we'll follow the same format and go down the list as you have them in your document. So Ray, if you would, please.
Okay. First item is number 40068, page 17, the Statewide Projects Improvement Program. And there's $2 million of corporate dividend funds there. This purpose of this project is provide funding to address known and unknown conditions in the Alaska housing housing stock.
Next item.
Next item is 47069, page 19. Building System Replacement Program. There's $1,500,000 of corporate funds for this program, and this one addresses specific major repairs and or replacements of items identified in a five-year review, major projects like roof replacements and things like that.
Next item.
Next item is number 47066, page 21. Fire Protection Systems, Phase 3. This is the third year of this program. There $2.2 million of corporate dividend receipts. These funds will be utilized to flush, evaluate, and repair fire sprinklers and alarms in multifamily and senior disabled public housing statewide based on the fire system engineers' equipment survey of these systems and subsequent testing after they're improved.
Next item.
Next item is 47068, page 23, Security System Replacements and Upgrades. This project upgrades existing security and door access systems in senior and disabled and multifamily public housing complexes. And mostly due because of outdated or no longer supported by the manufacturers for the parts and services that go along with it. And dollar amount is $500,000 of corporate dividends.
Next item. We're going easy on you today. Keep going while the wind's
your pick side. It up, Ray.
Pick it up, pick it up. Okay, good.
This is the one that was out of order, so I have to flip a few pages here. Next item is 6323, page 25, Supplemental Housing Development Program. We've split the funding on this one, $3 million corporate dividends and $4 million of state general funds. This is to supplement federal housing funds provided to the regional housing authorities to ensure safe, decent, affordable housing throughout the state. Next one is 6351, page 27. It's the Energy Efficiency Monitoring Research. There's $1 million of corporate dividends there. This is a designated grant to the Cole Climate Housing Research Center to conduct housing construction research, analysis, and information dissemination among the housing industry and the public. Next project is number 6334, page 30, Senior Citizen Housing Development Program. This year we were asking for $4.5 million in state general funds. It's provide funds for the development of senior citizen housing. To date, this program has funded 1,209 senior units and provided accessibility modifications to over 150 homes. Next project is 6347, page 32, Housing and Urban Development Federal Home Grant Program. Okay, this one's made it the right one.
Page 32.
My page number's a little different.
There you go. Okay.
It's the home program, so it's
yeah.
Includes $4 million in total, $3,250,000 in federal receipts and a matching $750,000 in corporate receipts. For the Home Investment Partnership Program, federal program. Purpose of home program is to expand the supply of affordable, low, and moderate income housing and to strengthen the state's ability to design and implement strategies to achieve adequate supply of safe, energy efficient, and affordable housing.
What are this? Yeah, both just go to that front page. 34. We're going to
30 page 44 is
pretty quick.
Yes. 6342 page 34, Housing and Urban Development Capital Fund Program. It's $3.2 million of federal funds that are provided to the public housing authorities each year to help renovate and modernize public housing units. Next project is 6348, page 36, federal and other competitive grants, $3 million of federal receipts and $1.5 million of corporate receipts, matching funds to try to match federal programs that are out there and getting things out for private institutions, foundations, for the housing needs of low-income families, special needs groups, seniors, mentally ill, disabled, and the homeless, and others.
Next item.
Next item is 6350, page 38, competitive grants for public housing. This has two funding sources, $750,000 for federal and $350,000 corporate receipts for matching funds for available housing grants for public housing facilities and the residents. Annually, HUD makes grants available and target the needs of the public housing facilities and the residents in the area. Next item is 50683, page 40, the weatherization program. We have two funding sources here, $1.5 million in federal DOE funds and $25 million Alaska Housing Capital Corporation funds. These funds are used to weatherize homes and also for the rebate program, energy rebate program.
So should this program be increased?
Yes.
Okay, just one vote for that.
Yeah.
Mr.
Belsky. Yes, sir.
Justify this program's existence, please.
The weatherization program?
Right, and should we not be looking at increasing this?
Mr. Chairman, we are grateful that there's $25 million in the budget, but I will say that this has to be the most successful endeavor, one that I've ever worked on, in reference to achievement of the stated goals, the amount of people served, and the overall benefits derived by extending the life of people's housing, reducing our energy costs by substantial amounts, 30% and 33%. On the rebate side, we're seeing average rebate of $6,100, average investment of $10,000, so there's $4,000 of skin, people with skin in the game investing in the project, 168,000 barrels of oil saved to date on the program of rebate and weatherization. I could go on and on. We estimate 2,500. I think that's low. I think it's closer to 4,000 people employed. We've promoted an industry where the state's role through us is to facilitate. The vast majority of the work is done by the private sector through contractors, vendors, small startup companies on the weatherization and rebate side. It's just perfect. We have currently, I think, 3,400 people on the waiting list in Anchorage. I have John Anderson here who runs the program if you want to go into more detail, but we are currently fully encumbered on the rebate side, $160 million, and we're fully allocated on the weatherization side on the $200 million. What I mean by that is on the rebates, you're given 18 months once you're into the system. At the end of 12 months, you're notified that you've got 6 months left. We're currently averaging right at 66% usage of the program. There's 33-34% people drop out. A good portion of them are people that simply it doesn't recognize or realize enough of a gain for them to make the decision. And then there's some that we fall, and we're looking at some ideas on a gap there where we miss a certain number of people. So this is a tremendous program, and I want to thank legislators, the administration for, I know, and Senator Hoffman and the work that we did personally and his staff, along with other senators, and putting this program together. I'd like to thank my own staff. We ramped this up pretty quick, and I think it's just a great example of how money can be expended in a proper manner, get the desired results. We look forward to reporting back to you. We do on a regular basis. We can account for every dime of this money, which was a promise I'd made going in. And I just, I love this program. I think it really is worthwhile.
You're not asking for any more money. Senator Hoffman.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that I've attended several statewide organizations, and they were hoping to see an additional $100 million added to this program. But what would a total of $50 million do to the program, and how far do you think that would take your department?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, Mr. Chair, can I ask John Anderson to come forward?
Yes.
All right. Senator Hoffman, we have John Anderson. We have broken down, per request, of various scenarios of amount of money into the program. And John, if you would please, the question was dealing with $50 million and how that would go.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Anderson, the weatherization officer for Alaska Housing. We have spreadsheets the way that we originally allocated the money back in 2008, and we have done numbers for $25 million, $50 million, $75 million, 100, 200, and 300. And we are able to share those.
So at $50 million, John?
At $50 million, the way that we broke the money out through the chairman, Senator Hoffman, homes served under the rebate program would be estimated around 2,300, and under the weatherization program would be 2,000.
And then given it's hard to predict what how many homes would be serviced, but how long would that those funds last?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, currently right now, as Dan's told you about the program, we are at capacity for both the home energy rebate and weatherization program for $100 million a year.
That's your absorption rate? If you've got $100 million a year, you can just...
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
So you're basically $74 million light? Is that correct?
Based on current capacity, Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item.
Is 4538-9, page 46, statewide ADA improvements. These funds, it's $500,000 of corporate funds to address accessibility upgrades identified by HUD Fair housing inspections dated in September of 09. Upgrades will be made over a five-year period to comply with ADA and Section 504 requirements of the voluntary compliance agreement recently negotiated with HUD.
Next item.
The next item is 37918, page 48. The total appropriation for the Alaska Housing Loan Program is $6 million, made up of $2 million of general fund, $3 million of HFC funds, and $1 million of ADA funds. This project has an allocation as part of it, so the $2 million and the $3 million will go to the teachers, health, and public safety professionals, and the $1 million of ADA funds will go to the village public safety officers.
Is that going to be enough for the VSPOs with the increase in the program? Because there's no request looking forward in 13.
Mr. Chairman, we believe that it will, based on discussions we've had with the Department of Public Safety as to the amount of projects going forward with them. Okay. I have a...
All right, next item.
Next item is 54390, page 54, the Homeless Assistance Program. I believe $10 million in total, $2 million of federal receipt, $6.3 million general fund, $850,000 of GF mental health, and $850,000 of MTAR funds.
Next item.
Next item is 6360, page 56, beneficiary and special needs housing, total amount. There's $1,073,500 of general fund and $676,500 of corporate funds.
Okay. And before you guys finish up here, can you give us a little update on your revenue on your portfolio, the bond market, what they used to be, and where do you find your revenue position at?
Mr. Chairman, be delighted to. I also have Joe Dudler here today, and I'd like to ask if Joe can come forward, CFO for Alaska Housing.
We just want to brief.
I would like, I'm sorry, sir.
It looks like you might be short.
Mr. Chairman, you'll notice I was going to talk about this, and you beat me to it. There's about 19 million, or 18, I think it's 18.5, in this budget of general fund monies. And the decision that I had gone with, and when I went to the board, HFC had a $9 million operating loss this year, and that was based entirely on the fact that we had no place to place our monies. We had a point at one time where overnight Fed fund rates were minus interest rates. We are all short-term in our funding. None of our loan programs, we were not in any exotic programs. There's no, we're not here with, we've got, you know, $700 million in bad loans out there. We have nothing like that. We simply had budgeted certain amounts based on the historical interest rates that we would be able to earn on the monies that we have for our liquidity position. When we don't sell bonds every day, but we do purchase mortgages every day. And when it got to the point where the federal government was printing money, this financial collapse that we've gone through, there was 1 and 2% money out there that effectively shut the bond market down. And it also then, that what followed was there was no, you couldn't sell bonds because no one would buy them. there was no market, and then it also affected the liquidity side, where there was no place to place your monies and earn any kind of rate of return, and that's what happened. In light of this, we were recently upgraded by Standard & Poor's to AA+, based on our performance. But that's a decision. We have a transfer plan agreement with the state, and I've gone to the board, and rather than look into our retained earnings and delve into that, I thought it was appropriate to come to you, effectively the owners of the corporation, and have a discussion with you about how you want to proceed. I can tell you this much, and I want Joe to talk for a while. We have turned the corner, and our numbers are going the opposite direction from where we currently, what you see in this budget presently. We have prepared a white paper describing the event. It's a revision of kind of the horror story of the finance. But it's very good, and Joe worked on it, and it's a very good paper, and we can have that for you if you would like. But Joe, if you would, anything else you want to? On the bond market, if you want to talk about our projections or where we're at, we're back in the market, Mr. Chairman. We recently closed on a $150 million deal. And anything to add, Joe? Or?
For the record, I'm Joe Dubler, the Chief Financial Officer and Finance Director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make myself available if there's any questions from the committee. It sounded like you wanted us to be brief, and I'd like to keep with that if
that's... Well, we're dealing with the capital budget now, so we'll come back to that. But if you can get us that broken paper, and we'll disseminate it amongst the committee. We're going to have a brief at ease. Mr. Kowski wants to speak to page 12 of the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, 2-year phase-in. Something to say?
I just wanted to point out, Mr. Chairman, that there's an amount in here for $5,500,000 to continue the ongoing engineering work and EIS and right-of-way and all the permitting work that is ongoing currently for that project.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a comment.
Okay, before you run away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to put in a quick pitch for the Alaska Craftsman Home Program. It's been around a number of years. I was happy to help create that program and want to put in a pitch for you all to continue your good working relationship, your cooperation, keeping that going. They bring great utility to your home programs, and I appreciate that and hope you will continue your positive attitude toward that important program.
Well, thank you, Senator. We will. They're doing a great job, and it's good to see some of the whole faces back with that group.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fowski, for coming in and your crew.
Thank you, sir.
We're now going to go on to the Alaska Energy Authority. We'll have a brief at ease while we set up. Presentation from
In and out.
Alaska Energy Authority. you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and we've got about 12 minutes left.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Sarah Fisher Goad. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority.
Could you pull the mic in, please?
Certainly.
I think we'll start on page 12.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. $330,000 general fund for the Electrical Emergencies Program. This is AEA's longstanding emergency support when electrical utilities in rural Alaska have a life, health, safety issue of which either the power has gone out or will go out if they're down to one generator. This provides us funding to answer and respond to those emergencies.
Next item.
Mr. Chairman, the energy projects is a $16 million request, $10 million of state funds, $6 million of federal dollars. This is another longstanding RPSU, Rural Power System upgrades and bulk fuel upgrades. The federal money is the Denali Commission money that we receive. That money, of course, has been declining in the past years. This request continues down our deficiency list for energy projects for bulk fuel and RPSU. In addition, there's $1 million of the $10 million, $1 million is to be used for regional energy planning with respect to working with regional organizations to take the energy plan and pathway to the next level and construct projects.
The last few years, it was $41 million, $25 million, $24 million. There's $16 million requests in front of us, and then next year, $31 million. Why is there a dip this year? Why isn't this request in the 31 is the forecast for 13 through 16?
Mr. Chairman, with respect to FY 2013, my guess is that will be reduced also. That is not going to be a continued sustainable level for federal receipts. So if I could suggest that I think in FY 2013 we're going to see probably federal receipts at the $6 million level. So I don't think it would necessarily be a dip. I think we're looking at a longstanding federal level of reduced from historic levels.
Okay. Next time.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is our $25 million request to fund round four of the renewable energy projects. The Renewable Energy Fund Grant Recommendation Program, we are on the round four of five rounds of projects. The legislation for the Renewable Energy Fund Grant Recommendation Program requires us to come to the legislature to receive funding. This $25 million request funds, the governor's office has put in $25 million request for round four funding. We have provided to the legislature a list of $37 million of recommended projects. We have approximately $4 million of funds that have been returned to the funds that will not be used for earlier grants.
So, as I recall, doesn't the statute require $50 million a year? Or am I mistaken?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the legislative intent was to fund it at $50 million a year. This year for round four, our recommended project levels was $37
million.
And the overall intent was to spend $250 million over the course of 5 years. And how are we going to accomplish that?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the solicitations that we've done, in past years, we have had recommended funding levels at 50 or higher. To reach the $250 million goal, I don't think that we're going to be able to do that in 5 years under the process that we have right now. And I think for the round five funding, we may have to address how we will do the solicitation. For example, we've had a cap on projects at $4 million for high-cost areas and $2 million for lower-cost southeast areas and rail belt areas of the state. So I think working with the REFAC committee, I think what we may do in this fall is actually look at a solicitation to be able to look at more projects than our traditional, the way we've done rounds one through four, again, for round four has led to a recommendation of the $37 million, $37 million worth of projects.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might continue, there is no way we're going to be getting close. If we, last year we had, I think, enough projects if we funded $50 million, but the governor vetoed it, and I think many of the areas of the state were, you know, lost some enthusiasm and did not submit projects. But if we don't even fund what we're being requested at $37 million, we're never going to get there. So I'm concerned that that number one, the governor vetoed the 25 that we had increased from the bringing the level up for FY11 to 50, and now we're not even requesting what's being what we solicited for. So I think the numbers that we have, and I'm on that committee, show that the program is working, and I would like to see a minimum of $37 million, if not the $50 million, and maybe another solicitation of renewable energy projects. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think the committee has a lot of interest in this program, along with the weatherization program, especially when oil's playing around $100 a barrel. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is the Susitna Railbelt Energy Plan. This is $65.7 million from the Railbelt Energy Fund for AEA to move forward with the design and permitting process for the Susitna Hydroelectric Project.
So how do you, in 9, we did 2.5, in 11, we did 10. Now your request is 65, and it looks like 30 the next year and 33 the following year. How do you, what process is underway that you need $65 million in the next 12 months?
Mr. Chairman, the $65 million would be for multi-year work. The
doesn't the $65 million just happen to be the amount in the Railbelt Energy Fund?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe that is the estimated balance of the unobligated funds.
Can you get back to the committee on what amount of an appropriation you would need to move this project forward, regardless of fund source, for FY12 and FY13?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we can provide that information. The one thing I'd like to make sure that the committee understands is when we are in the middle of fiscal year is, of course, in the middle of the construction season or the field season, and so the plan would be to work through the fiscal to in FY11 with the $10 million that we have, or the remaining amount of that $10 million, and this appropriation is to work through the field work plan that would bridge a couple fiscal years. So the more money that we have earlier, the more that we can plan for those the multi-year project.
We have no shortage of savings and no shortage of revenue stream. So what I need you to get back to the committee on is your cash flow needs for 12, 13, and then maybe 14. You know, there's not an interest to cut the funding short, so you know you're on a string one year at a time. We understand that process isn't beneficial to move the project forward, but there is some concern that we just don't fund all the available funds in the Rail Belt Energy Fund just because they happen to be there. appropriate it, and then next year have another request for $32 million and end up having a considerable amount of funds appropriated into the program, which would remove the legislature from the process.
So certainly, Mr. Chairman.
I'm interested in the cash flow needs, not adding an account and into the tens of millions of dollars. We've had a less than desirable experience with that with some of our oil projects around here. But there is, just so people at home don't misunderstand that the question, there is a lot of interest here at the table looking at the CSIPNA, and Senator Thomas was instrumental, what, 2 years ago?
Three years ago in that budget, though.
Yeah. So we've been very interested in keeping this potential hydro project front and center in the table. I don't want people at home to think we're trying to derail it. That's the exact opposite. We're the ones that put it on the table, especially with Senator Thomas's help.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Thomas's support, especially for the $10 million from last year, is not without notice from the agency. We have very much supported the support from Senator Thomas on this project. The one thing I should note for the committee, we will be able to provide you an estimated cash flow for the fiscal years that you've requested. However, any refinement for the total cost for permitting and designing of the project and a timeline, once we're able to file a preliminary permit application, of which we need legislation to do that, we'll be able to work with the federal agencies and FERC to find out which additional studies we need to do and also what additional field work we'll need to do.
We'll be back here next week.
Certainly.
Next item. I think what we're going to do today is we're just going to end up, I guess, finishing up AEA because we're at 5 o'clock and I want to keep on schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last item is the Southeast Energy Fund. This is $10 million as a placeholder in the Southeast Energy Fund for future Southeast projects.
Do you have any projects identified?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, no.
And what process would you go through to appropriate this money out to whoever is the end receiver?
Mr. Chairman, AEA is heading up a Southeast Integrated Resource Plan with respect to identify projects that would be potentially available for funding. And in prior discussions with respect to how this fund should be operated, I believe the way that it's, and I'm sorry, I don't have the statute in front of me right now, it says that AEA would issue grants for funds available in the fund. There's been discussion on whether we need an appropriation to actually move the money out into projects. If AEA did not need a future appropriation, and if this appropriation happened, we could, through a process, do a solicitation with respect to Southeast projects. I believe it would be beneficial to have the IRP process completed before we do such a thing. However, we could, if the goal was for us to have $10 million worth of grants in FY 2012, we could develop a process to choose those projects.
The concern I have is that there's projects going forward that don't need the integrated resource plan because they're small incremental projects in some of our major counties. And the integrated resource plan is one of the larger hydros in the future we build in the 10 to 15 year lead time. And then the intertide connections are major. A couple of things that concern me about this appropriation is that the integrated resource plan isn't due out for another year. There's no appropriation targeted by the administration for it, other than the 2012 appropriation of $10 million through 2017. Yet when I look over here at CSIPNA over that same time frame, I see $162 million. The expenditures that are being undertaken currently by one of the communities dealing with the 20 megawatt dam, 28 to 30 megawatt. I think they've got about $2 million in the renewable energy grants moving forward through the FERC process. So that's the CATS. That system is underway. But that, you know, is a substantially smaller than the Latona dam. But there's a huge difference between the appropriation requests that are in front of this committee dealing with the Garibald Energy and Susitna issue than what the communities are experiencing down here on the hydro. So at some point we need to sit down and take a look at it. There seems to be quite the disconnect. I don't know if the municipalities can just do it a lot less expensive than the state, or it's the size of this project at, 600 megawatts? How much is it, Talman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, 600 megawatts.
600 megawatts relative to 30. That's the biggest one. The other one is 9.9. Well, there's one at 20, and 9.9. So there's quite the scale differences here, but it is a concern.
And Mr. Chairman, last week the working group for the integrated resource plan did meet, and my understanding is the working group had expressed support of supporting projects that have been licensed, FERC licensed, prior to more of the additional work being done before the technical conference that I believe is going to be held in April.
And that is your final request?
Yes, sir.
That concludes them today, and I thank you for coming forward. Tomorrow we'll pick up with Department of Commerce. We'll try to get back on schedule, Department of Health, and then Public Safety, Administration, Education, Military, and Veterans Affairs. We're doing the bigger ones first, so they'll speed up as time goes on.